Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Santita Jackson Show on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. Back to school, back to school. Rainbow Push will be having our regular Saturday morning forum at the Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church at 45th and Princeton. And while you are there tomorrow, we are having a free school supply giveaway. Call us at 773-FREEDOM, 773-FREEDOM, so that you can get your child registered. That's the only way that we can give these things away. But it really is going to be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful rally and service. And you can also call 773-256-2762 because these school supplies can be very, very expensive. I want to talk with Dr. Damon Arnold, the former head of the Illinois Department of Public Health, about homelessness and our children in the Chicago public schools. More than 16,000 of them are homeless, more than 16,000. And as I was talking to different educators yesterday, they said numbers could really go well north of 20,000 because you're not talking about children whose parents were displaced in the recession, who lost their homes or who are living with family members. We're not talking about children who refuse to report that they are homeless because it's a source of embarrassment for some. It shouldn't be. It should not be, because we can all fall down at some point in life. If you keep on living, you will do that. But I read this story, Lady B, in the Sun-Times, and it just broke my heart. It goes like this. As the mother of six, the grandmother of nine, and a victim of foreclosure. Bridget Barber knows the pain of homelessness and the devastating impact it has on kids. So does Lakeview High School student Dante Lockett. His, quote, downward spiral, close quote, to three different states and four different high schools began when he, his mom, and his sister were kicked out of the house by his mom's ex-boyfriend on Thursday. They told their cities at a city hall news conference, and they wanted to continue to keep the pressure on Mayor Lori Lightfoot to deliver on her campaign promise to create a dedicated revenue stream to combat homelessness. They said this young man spoke haltingly, and it was very, very painful, and it was his grandmother also spoke very painfully. She said, really, she said, look, the kids and I were sleeping in the car, hotels, on the floors of friends' homes. We started going from house to house and living doubled up. It would become hard to bring the kids to school. I mean, at this time, she lost one of her children. I mean, she said it takes a toll on the kids and the parents. And so I want to know from you, what about that? What about that? Because this is what we're asking teachers to deal with, as we are not giving them psychologists, as we're not giving them nurses. I went to public schools K through 12. You used to get a dental exam. Remember those little nasty tablets you used to have to eat to see how well you did not brush your teeth that morning? Eye test, you used to get vision tests, all of that. And while we're saying that we don't have enough money, not just to educate our children, to care for our children, most of their waking hours are spent at school. So I want to know from Dr. Damon Arnold, what about the impact of homelessness? More than 16,000 report that they are homeless in the Chicago public school system. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Arnold.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Always, always a joy. Thank you so much for being so available to the show. Dr. Arnold, homelessness, how would that impact, you know, a five-year-old, a four-year-old, someone who's 10, someone who's 16, 17, 18? You see, this young man talked of a downward spiral that he was on because of homelessness.
Oh, absolutely. You know, our society, one of the key provisions of our government is to protect the people. If there's anything else that the government is in existence for, is to protect the people. And there is a responsibility not only from the government side, but from the critical infrastructure and key resource sectors, which are like schools, places where we get clothing, food, water, our utilities. Those services should be available to all of our citizens to begin with. And when you become homeless, you get cut off from the lifeline of the government's protection. You get cut off from the lifeline of the community's protection from the business sector, and you end up being alone in many different ways. This has a devastating impact on these children. When you're 3 to 5 years old, it's been said many times in many studies that when you're in your third to fifth grade time period, during that time, you form the foundation of how you will live out the rest of your life. And if you are off track at that point, then you are going to have catastrophic consequences in your lifetime. How can you sit and study in school and read when you haven't had anything to eat that morning as a child? And then you're starving and you're eating candy just to try to make it through the day because it's so cheap. This is with poor nutrition, it is the foundation of how well we will do health-wise and into the future, how we think, how we develop. And to have those things taken away from you is really devastating. There was a CPS Office of Student Study, and they were looking at temporary living situations. And they found out that 17,894 children were homeless who attended CPS schools. And that was for the years 2017 and 18. It continues into 19. But they noted that, in 2016, there were actually a few more homeless children. But the question I have, they said 233 less. But the question I have is that with homelessness, you are in school, but we don't even talk about how many people are dropping out of school and are still homeless aren't being captured within the public school system.
And that goes right to the story of this young man, Dante Lockett, who thankfully is a senior at Columbia College. So our applause, we have to give a big, 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 big hug to this young man, and continue to keep him encouraged. But he said, quote, "Not having a stable home plays a big mindset in the Chicago public school student who is homeless because they don't know if they're going to be able to do their homework. They don't know if they're going to make it to school."
That's right. And then also the social responsibilities of the family. Many of these children may feel, well, I'm more of a burden than anything else on my family.
So what does that mean? Does that drive? What does that mean? Do they commit suicide? Do they commit homicide, which is suicide in another way? What happens? What is the social fallout?
Yeah, I know there was a study for Chicago's homeless students, and in July 30th of 2018, it was reported that children of color represented 98.3% of the total of homeless children. Now, we represent 15% of the population, but 98.3% of the homeless. And so when we start looking at the breakdown of the children of color, African Americans, it was 81.2%, Latinos, 15.6%. Whites 1.7% and others 1.5%. So 81.2% actually came from the African community, 15.6% of that 98.3% total came from the Latino community. That means that we have got to do something. And this goes back to something that your caller, Tony, he was very insightful about showing the effects of violence that are in the community with related to gun law. But the public health industry, getting back to your original question about what can public health do, what's the role for public health? We had anti-smoking campaigns. We had anti-drunk driving campaigns. But we don't really have campaigns against homelessness and children, for children. So we see all these things, and legislation is good, but the carrot and stick approach sometimes is effective. But I drive down to work every day, and I see people breaking the speed limit every day. So having a law in place doesn't mean anything if people don't comply with its intent. And so we really have to start looking at it and saying, is there a need for a new public health paradigm and to start pushing a campaign against children being in school who are homeless?
Is this a public health crisis? I mean, if it is a public health crisis, why would you consider it such? I mean, and I say that to you as the former director of one of the largest departments of public health in the United States of America.
Yeah, I think it definitely is a public health disaster that's happening right now. And we look at, hurricanes, and we look at those kinds of things. But these social consequences of poverty, being homeless, can be just as impactful or devastating in someone's life as a hurricane or a tornado. It can really disrupt the future prospects of you actually being able to survive. And a top-down, imposition of so-called best practices that people talk about without situational awareness into the complexities of a community environment doesn't work. We have got to get into these communities, work with our community-based organizations. If you want to do something to start changing this, then you have to either, donate money to a shelter or time to a shelter to help these kids. We need hands-on engagement with these kids who are homeless and their families to make sure that they are able to pull themselves out of that situation they're in. Just passing a law or saying something doesn't really mean much if we don't have action behind it.
Not at all. Let me go to you, Mike. How you doing, Mike? Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to your guest, Dr. Arnold.
Oh, thank you.
I live in a low-income building in the 2nd Ward, 45th Precinct. And on the floor, on the 6th floor, we have something called Covenant House. Covenant House is a homeless youth program. And it clearly breaks my heart to see young people as young as 16 years old sometimes come in here come in the morning. They line up downstairs, and a counselor comes to get them in order to bring them upstairs because they have been in the streets all night because they're homeless. At Covenant House, I have been told because it's only you can't go on the floor unless you're a counselor for the program, and the counselors bring them up, and they feed them. They allow them to wash their clothes. They do homework there. It's clearly a problem in the city, and it definitely has its roots in the foreclosure as far as epidemic on the South and West Side, because most of the kids that I see are kids of color, usually African-American, mostly African-American, some Latinos, and very few whites. And I noticed that if I am, when I was younger, if I'm on the Dan Ryan, you see kids on the Red Line who are spending the night on the L in the winter because they have nowhere else to go. And so I think Chicagoans, when I hear you don't have enough money, we don't have enough money to deal with the homeless, that's what I heard almost for the last 10 years. And I know that, well, let me just say, I believe that this mayor has got to wrap her arms and the city council, because it's, the city council, they're legislators. This local, as far as municipality, it would seem to me, would be able to rearrange what the priorities are in the city budget.
Mike, I tell you, what we're going to have to do, because I know Mayor Lori Lightfoot has been there 100 days. Many of the city council members have been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
President Preckwinkle has been there for years. Well, no, I'm just saying now it's time for everybody, all hands on deck. If we've learned anything, we have learned the power of the people. You can't just leave the city council or the mayor or President Preckwinkle or whomever just there to do their job, because there are people who are lobbying them all day, every day.
Right, but I also believe that there is a public policy perspective that needs to address.
But that's my point. We're the ones who have to put that. We have to put teeth on that.
We have to push it.
That's right. We have to go. I have to run to a couple of other callers. But hearing your activism, gives me hope.
Oh, I plan on being down at Robert Clemente September 12th.
There you go.
Speak out against it. I plan on. I had a low income housing tenants association at the Lawson House, and they're getting ready to put out the same place where the Covenant House is.
Okay.
They're getting ready to displace over 323 mostly senior elderly disabled person.
So that means very quickly.
The largest SRO in the state.
Well, you know what? I want you to hold on. I want you to hold on because I want to get some information from you about that. Because displacing these seniors means they're going to put them out. And so, you know, Lady B, get some information from Mike. Because we want to find out about that so that we can talk about that. Because I don't know how anyone, Dr. Arnold, can put some old folks out on the street.
It is just absolutely shameless.
Crazy.
Shameful. Because I served in the military, and I saw people dying on a battlefield to preserve the rights and the rights to security and social well-being and liberty in this country. And when I come back and I see the way that people are being treated within this country, it is abominable to me. It's reminiscent of what dictators do overseas with their people. Because I've been to 23 different countries, and several of the countries I've been to, there were dictators in power, and that's how they treated their people. The people were homeless, starving, living on the dirt. How in the most rich country in the world that espouses to all these high principles do we allow people to be thrown out of their homes when they're elderly and children to be walking on the streets? It's just unconscionable. We have to really reevaluate the way we think about ourselves and about these children. They are all our children, because if we don't take care of these children, we will suffer the social consequences of them not being brought to the highest level of capacity, exploiting their skills, their abilities, their talents. They can change the world. And if we treat them and mistreat them, we will have treat them poorly and mistreat them, we will have the consequences of our actions unfold.
Dr. Damon Arnold, the former head of our Illinois Department of Public Health, talking about our homeless children in the Chicago public school system. More than 16,000. Some estimate more than 20,000. And what about the children whose parents lost their homes to foreclosure, right? Think about the Jackie Robinson baseball team who lost. Well, they didn't lose their titles. They were taken from them. Those kids went to stay with their grandparents and with people who had stable homes after their parents lost homes. That's what they would, and their parents didn't want to disrupt their lives as they were trying to stabilize themselves so that they can bring their children home. I mean, really, think about the impact of homelessness on these children, and not just on these children, on your children. Because what happens to your next door neighbor ends up happening to you. What did Ronald Reagan say? Oh, wow. Well, it was said in Reagan's time for sure. When you have, the recession is when your neighbor doesn't have a job. The depression comes when you don't have one. I'm hoping that we will all grow to the point where, you know, what happens to our neighbor is something that happens to ourselves. Maybe we'll be that concerned. Dr. Damon Arnold, it's always a joy to be with you.
Oh, same.
always a joy. Always a joy. I hope to see you tomorrow if you have any time to come to the back to school rally.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I want to also say that your guests were very insightful, your callers. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that, doing the work you do and letting people know what's going on is such an important key element. You are like the PSA the public health service needs. So maybe you need the CDC needs to listen to your show too.
No, maybe they need to make you head of it. How about that? I'll go with that. That's what we need. We really do need more public servants like you. And I'm so glad that you make yourself available to give this information to the people. It means so much, Dr. Arnold. I really appreciate you. I really do.
You as well.
Maybe you'll go back and become head of Department of Public Health of Illinois. Maybe you can do that in Washington, HHS. How about that? How about if you become secretary? I'm for that. More of the Santita Jackson show on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. We're talking about our Chicago public school children and the students and the parents and what they need. The Chicago public school system is doing something right, but what can we help them do and what can we help them be so they can become the best that they can be? More of the Santita Jackson Show in just a few minutes. 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-9278. Back in just a few minutes.